Well, hey, Sean. Hey, Laura.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
So we are back from a couple weeks off, and it's a new year, a new legislative session here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and normally we would be talking a lot about state government. New members being sworn in, new bills, the upcoming budget, maybe the COVID-19 bill that passed the assembly this week.
Yeah, but obviously the events in Washington, D.C. this week really sort of overshadow any of that, and it's just too unprecedented and too important not to talk about.
Yeah, and even though it's a story with national significance, it's a national story, there's a lot to talk about as far as how Wisconsin's politicians were involved and how they responded to it.
So let's get into it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, what happens when politics goes from being politics to something way more serious and way more messed up? So I guess first things first, we're sort of assuming that since you're listening to a politics podcast here, you're pretty caught up on the events that happened in Washington, D.C. this week with supporters of President Donald Trump violently rioting inside the U.S. Capitol building while Congress was in session. And if you somehow happen to miss that news, you know, there are a lot of firsthand accounts out there from journalists who were on the scene, and you can find those stories elsewhere at those outlets. We're not, you know, well placed to give you a play-by-play of everything that happened on Wednesday, because obviously we weren't there, but you know, we were watching as everything unfolded, and we were following members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation who were taking part in the proceedings as all of this was going on, and we've been following their reactions, you know, since all of this happened. So that's mostly what we're going to talk about this week. But I guess to start out, I don't know. I mean, I think it's an understatement to say that as political journalists, we've never really seen anything like this. Just real quick, do you want to step back and say, like, what are you thinking? What are you feeling at the moment?
You want to go first, Laurel?
Oof.
Not really.
No, you first.
yeah, you first.
Ugh. I don't know.
Sean has the longest tenure as a political reporter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I spent the morning like trying to figure out procedural rules for a joint session of Congress, and like was slowly just kind of paralyzed watching what was unfolding with extremely violent, you know, clashes with police and Trump supporters outside the Capitol. It was very jarring, and probably like everybody else, made it a little hard to concentrate on anything else for a while. So that was my reaction. And it was very sad. It was a very sad day.
Yeah, I obviously would agree with all of that. I think it's been hard to process in the days since. I think there are a lot of, you kind of mentioned this, John, just a lot of really difficult images and videos, things to see happening in our nation's capital, a place that's really special to, you know, everybody. I think as reporters, it has a lot of significance to us, you know, of course, as it does for many people that aren't reporters, but I think it's just a painful time. And so figuring out how to kind of process it all has been challenging.
How about you, John?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess as I was watching it, I almost felt a little numb to it. I mean, and maybe that's a function of the fact that it's been such a difficult year news-wise, and maybe the way I approach it is just kind of like, oh, wow, there's more craziness going on, But in the day's sense, I guess it's like it's hit me a little more, just feeling like, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I can't. I've lost track of the number of stories that we've had where we go on this podcast and we usually like to kind of have a good time on here and talk about, you know, bills and committee meetings, fun
things. Everybody's idea of a good time.
And instead we're like talking about the most tragic stuff over and over again. So here we are again. It's one of those episodes, but there's also a lot of information here too, we hope. So you at least got that going in this podcast.
Yeah, we have the info, even if we don't have the fun shtick.
No sound effects. No sound effects in this episode, if that's what you tune in for.
Next time, maybe. Sean, I guess you sort of mentioned it a little bit, but the way things started on Wednesday was that Congress was meeting to certify the election results from November. And we were paying attention to it, not just because it's, you know, a thing of national importance, but also because there were members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation who were taking stances about how they were going to react in those proceedings. So do we want to maybe start there?
Absolutely. We did have some members of our congressional delegation who we knew were talking about objecting to electoral votes from certain states, including ours, should that they come up before a joint session of Congress. And so that was kind of our dual interest there, right? Was to watch what our congressional delegation was going to do during this joint session of Congress, which I have never watched before, I have to confess. I mean, I've seen clips of other ones in the past, but I never tuned in to watch a joint session of Congress for something like this. So we got to watch what our members are going to do, and then we got to watch what's going to happen with Wisconsin, because we're one of those states that the president has keyed in on, where he, through multiple lawsuits, has tried to overturn our state's election results. So that's the other thing we're watching for. And the day got started, watching Congress, they did sort of begin those proceedings. Where, and this is, again, a thing that I was not really familiar with, but in a joint session of Congress, if they want to object to presidential electoral college votes, somebody from the House can raise an objection, and it has to be in writing, and it also has to be signed by a member of the Senate. And so that's where things started, is there was an objection raised to the electoral college votes from Arizona, and it was signed by several Republican senators, including our own Republican Senator Ron Johnson. So there's the first Wisconsin angle of the day. What happens then is the House and the Senate go to their own chambers and begin. That's where they can debate, is when they're in their own sessions, they can debate whether or not to count these electors. And that's what they were doing when the Capitol was stormed.
And I think just for a little context, you know, this isn't necessarily a surprise from Ron Johnson based on what we've heard from him since the November election.
Yeah, that's totally right. I mean, Senator Johnson has been pretty vocal. Obviously, he has a really powerful role as the chair of the Homeland Security Committee, which has that permanent investigations subcommittee, and he's held hearings about election security that a lot of people have pushed back on as kind of giving another platform to unfounded claims of voter fraud, claims that don't have the evidence to back them up, claims that have repeatedly failed in court. And this has been a, you know, in that vein, it's been a consistent message from Senator Johnson that a lot of people have concerns, and these concerns need to be talked about and addressed and sort of brought to some sort of conclusion where people have more faith in the legislative process, in the integrity of the legislative process. Now, the pushback...
The electoral process, you mean?
The electoral process, right. Oh, my brain just, like, defaulted back
it's
to...
It's been a long week,
What's that called when your computer goes into, like, safe mode and it can only do the basic functions?
I thought it was... yeah, safe mode. I thought you were talking about autofill.
The autofill works out, too.
Once one that word too. Is there, it's like spits out the rest of it.
This is what you mean.
We have lots of those.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the rationale that Senator Johnson has been using. The pushback on that is that these claims have already been addressed. They've already been brought to resolution. The courts have weighed in. Election officials on a state and federal level have weighed in, and that the conversation should be over. And he just doesn't agree with that.
And so Ron Johnson taking that first vote to object was about as far as we actually got before, you know, the rioters made it to the Capitol. There was a little bit of suspense, but also some expectations that we would hear from other members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation on the Republican side. But, you know, we got to Arizona, which was alphabetically first amongst the states being potentially challenged. And then all hell broke loose at the Capitol. And then hours and hours later, after, law enforcement was able to secure the Capitol and lawmakers eventually came back in to finish the work that they were doing, that's when we got to see the first immediate reactions from other lawmakers from Wisconsin.
Yeah, so this is one of those stories where you really do have to tell it sequentially because, you know, when they started this debate, it was another day at the Capitol. An unusual day, sure, an unprecedented debate in some ways, but a debate like they're used to having. And then you have people die at the Capitol in this clash. And then there are, you know, senators and representatives come back to debate. And so that's the new context in which they're debating these proposals. So they do that and for us in Wisconsin, all eyes are kind of on Senator Johnson at this point because, you know, we know that he had signed on to the objection during the joint session of Congress earlier in the day. So how is he going to vote on whether to object to Arizona's Electoral College votes? He voted no. That is to say, he joined 92 other senators in saying Arizona's Electoral College votes should count. There were only six Republicans who ultimately objected to them in the Senate. Ron Johnson was not one of them. So, I don't know, that was sort of suspenseful for us because we didn't know where he was going to land on that. And his basic point on why he signed on to the objection but then voted against it was that he said he wanted to have that discussion. But he ultimately did not take the step of, saying that Arizona's election results should be overturned.
So on the Senate side, Ron Johnson ultimately voted not to object to Arizona, didn't vote to object to any other states either, ultimately. But on the House side, there were members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation from the Republican side that did vote to object to states.
So Sean can jump in and add more here if he wants to, because he was following this much more closely early in the day than I was. But I don't think that we had quite as much certainty going into the House vote as we did with the Senate vote in terms of who was going to vote in what way for the objections. So when Arizona came around, we didn't know exactly how it was going to fall in terms of Wisconsin's members of Congress there. What ended up happening was two of the members of Congress from Wisconsin voted to uphold the objection to Arizona's electoral votes being accepted. And those two representatives were both pretty new to Congress from Wisconsin, pretty darn new, actually. One Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, former Senate Majority Leader, and two, Congressman Tom Tiffany. Sorry, my brain, my like autofill brain is like, well, it's going senator for both of them, because they were both state senators very recently. So that's where that fell there.
If that feels like a lot to process, because what they're doing in these things is it's like, we have to refer to it as like double negatives, you know, because they're voting no on objecting. So, you know, put it another way, Ron Johnson kind of serves up this debate over the Arizona electors, but ultimately he upholds the Arizona electors. Whereas in the House, each time the House got a chance to vote to overturn a state, and there were only two states where they got to take that vote, Arizona and Pennsylvania, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald both would have overturned those states' elections, whereas the rest of Wisconsin's congressional delegation would or voted to uphold them.
And I guess it's safe to say sort of those votes that Tiffany and Fitzgerald took were sort of siding with the president's arguments in that case, right? Basically, even after the crazy events that went on at the Capitol that day, they still essentially supported the president in his call to try and overturn the election.
I think it's very safe to say, yeah, completely, completely. And I got to say, too, the watching Congress that night and into the morning, you know, from my comfy home on a couple of C-SPAN feeds, there was a point in the House where they were just like so fired up that some of the reporters who were watching it said it looked like they were going to get into a fight, you know? Like they just kind of started marching toward each other, really sort of kind of a macho standoff there in the middle of the night. So if you're wondering whether the day's events led to a somber debate in the Capitol, I would say no, it did not.
So all that is Republican members of Wisconsin's delegation bringing up challenges to other states' elections. But like we mentioned a while ago, Wisconsin was on that list of states that was potentially challengeable from the president and his supporters. What happened as far as Wisconsin's election?
Yeah, so when it came time to object to potentially Wisconsin, and here's the thing with the way that the joint session of Congress goes, it goes alphabetically. So it's sort of weird to think about, but who knows what would have happened with Wisconsin if we didn't start with W, you know, because literally by the luck of the alphabet, we came way after these horrific events and not before them, you know. So around 2:30 in the morning Central Time, Texas Republican Louie Gohmert objects to Wisconsin's electoral votes. He did not have a senator who signed on, though, so it could not be considered. And that was that. I mean, the way that the joint session works, Mike Pence just said that, you know, the presiding officer, Vice President Mike Pence, said that it can't be considered. We do know afterward, thanks to reporting from the Journal Sentinel, that Scott Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany say they would have voted to object to Wisconsin's presidential electoral votes. That is to say, they would have voted to overturn Wisconsin's election results.
So that's the actual business of what happened in Congress that day. What about in terms of reactions to, you know, this outbreak of violence at the Capitol building from members of Wisconsin's political leadership? What did we hear?
I guess the day of, you had some strong reactions and some less strong reactions, we'll say, from Wisconsin's congressional delegation to the violence at the Capitol, the violence and the destruction at the U.S. Capitol. And I think as far as like Republican reactions to that, it's not really a close call in terms of who had the strongest reaction against it. It was Mike Gallagher. I mean, he called it some banana republic crap that was happening. Said he hadn't seen anything like that since he was serving in Iraq. And not only that, but he did lay the blame at the foot of the president and at the objectors, at people who were saying, we just want to have this debate. You know, we want to this that there's no harm to having this debate over objecting to these presidential electors. He was saying that they fed into this, you know, that they had set the table for this. You guys read and heard his comments, right? Like that's in pretty much no uncertain terms. He is blaming the objectors who are in his delegation, by the way, you know, Tiffany Fitzgerald. And of course, Ron Johnson did not vote to object to any vote, any electoral college votes, but he definitely set the table for that debate. What you heard from other members of the congressional delegation on the Republican side, you know, everybody condemned the violence. You know, thankfully, you didn't have anybody celebrating what was happening there. You did hear early in the day. This is through interviews with Glenn Grothman and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He initially kind of downplayed what was going on. And like having covered Glenn Grothman for a lot of years, his first instinct is to sort of downplay it when the media is making a big deal out of something. But he pretty quickly turned around and said, look, I had not seen what was going on in the Capitol. This is horrible. And
I mean, didn't he say essentially that the window to his office doesn't look out over the Capitol, right. So he didn't know what was going on?
Yes. So, I mean, his range of reactions is on their initial story from that day, but it began with kind of downplaying it, but then it turned into condemnation. And actually, he was one of the congressional delegation who did vote to uphold every state's election results. And I mean, he was pretty critical of Republicans who voted the other way. You know, he said, like, imagine if Democrats do this to us in 2024, we'd be like apoplectic. Is that the word he used? It was pretty strong. But anyway, like, as far as Democrats go, you heard right away, you know, Ron Kind is comparing it to a coup. Mark Pocan is saying that Donald Trump is supporting domestic terrorism. And, you know, Gwen Moore was, I think, maybe the first member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation to talk about getting Trump out of office.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of the next step of reactions that we've been following in terms of our Wisconsin niche here, is that first we had reactions to the rioting and the violence that went on at the Capitol, and then basically reactions blaming the president and calling for his removal, and this coming from Democrats, Wisconsin Democrats mostly.
Yeah, so I mean, Sean kind of outlined the day of responses, which had some standout moments, like from Gallagher and from Grothman, but for the most part, were pretty across the board. We've had a lot more variation in how lawmakers want to approach kind of the president's position moving forward. So some lawmakers have supported impeachment, going through impeachment proceedings again. Others are calling for the 25th Amendment to be utilized to remove him from office. That's a process where the vice president or the cabinet can choose to remove the president in certain circumstances. And Wisconsin, for the most part, its congressional delegation kind of falls along party lines with these things. So Sean kind of mentioned this, that Representatives Moore and Pocan support using either the 25th Amendment or impeachment to remove the president from office. I think Senator Baldwin is supportive of either of those as well. Representative Ron Kind is, you know, he's in a very competitive district in Wisconsin. I think he's the most tentative of the Democrats, in terms of, you know, where he stands on this. He said he doesn't support impeachment, but he said consideration of the 25th Amendment is something that should maybe happen. And Republicans are not in favor of it, of either.
Yeah, Kind has sort of, if you're looking at our delegation and we told you, hey, one member of this delegation has kind of the most gray in their answer, you know, because the rest of the delegation, there's a lot of black and white on whether to impeach or not impeach, and somewhat predictable. With Kind, his position, as he articulated it today, was, well, look, the best thing is Republicans need to pressure the president to resign. Now, if that doesn't happen, then he says, I think that Mike Pence should look into the 25th Amendment. And then when it comes to impeachment, he says he sounds very, to my ear, sounds very hesitant about that, given the timing. He says if we don't have time to do the proper hearings, we could be setting a bad precedent there. And so he's not saying no to impeachment, but he sounds pretty cautious about it at this point. And I should say, like, it would take, if you were to remove the president, it would take Republicans helping in some form. Obviously, the 25th Amendment would require Mike Pence or majority of the president's cabinet to be on board with that idea. And then from my perspective, reading about it, my understanding is that a sitting president could say, like, no, actually, I am fit to serve, which you can imagine President Trump making that case. And then he gets to make the case to Congress that he's fit to serve, and then it ultimately falls to Congress anyway. And then you need, you know, Democrats don't have a majority in the Senate now. So you're going to need Republicans on board. And even if you try impeachment, let's say you could do it in like 5 days, you're going to need Republicans. So I'm not saying it can't happen, but obviously you're not hearing from them right now as to like the urgency of impeachment.
And I guess at the bottom of everything, the argument for trying to remove the president is the idea that sort of his rhetoric, his repeated false claims about a stolen election, the speech he gave Wednesday morning to his supporters gathered in Washington, D.C., that he's, you know, essentially responsible for this violence at the Capitol, and that that's grounds for him to be removed from office. And that's what we're hearing from Democrats, from his opponents. That's not necessarily the same argument that we're hearing from, you know, some of his supporters, including, say, Ron Johnson.
So WPR reached out to Ron Johnson. I reached out to Ron Johnson today to see if we could get a statement on this. And he didn't respond. His office didn't respond. But he has spoken with other reporters about this. An NBC News reporter tweeted a transcript of an interview that he did with Senator Johnson earlier this week after the unrest at the Capitol. And he said that the president should not be blamed for what happened, and that Republican lawmakers who supported questioning or challenging, objecting to the Electoral College votes shouldn't be blamed either. So certainly, Senator Johnson is not on the side of, you know, President Trump's at fault here and needs to be removed because of that fault.
Yeah, and not on the side of Ron Johnson. I mean, he's not saying that he carries any blame here, which you definitely have Democrats saying that he does. I mean, mm-hmm. He held that hearing in December where he talked about election irregularities or some term along those lines. And I think what you've heard from Johnson all along is like, look, I'm just asking questions. There's nothing to be afraid about with asking questions. But really, if you actually look at what he's doing, I mean, I'm most familiar with what happened in Wisconsin. And at this Ron Johnson hearing, he had the lawyer for the president in Wisconsin, Jim Troupas, testify that more than 200,000 people in Wisconsin had voted illegally. And Ron Johnson did not question him on that. He just accepted it. And to accept that, you have to accept that you're looping in 170,000 people who voted in person absentee at their clerks in Dane and Milwaukee counties using a form that's been in existence for more than a decade that zero members of the state Supreme Court had any issue with in all their concurring and dissenting opinions when this came before the court. You're asking to accept a lot. And Ron Johnson just tweeted it out there. Like, his staff just tweeted out that 200,000 people, you know, attributed it to the president's lawyer, saying that these were unlawful votes. And President Trump retweeted that to, you know, his 80 million followers. So, sure, I mean, Senator Johnson is just asking a question here, but he's not, that hearing did not really pry too much, you know? And he did definitely get this information out there, which was very easily put into more context, and he chose not to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is sort of how far or how clearly are you willing to draw a line between, you know, say Ron Johnson or Donald Trump, who is saying that the election was stolen, that people were voting illegally, you know, telling his supporters that they are somehow going to change the results, that they're not going to stop fighting, and that, you know, how closely can that line be tied to those supporters then going to the Capitol and breaking in and busting up Congress people's offices and, you know, interrupting Congress as they certify election results. You know, it's an ongoing argument, but that's sort of the basic question there.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as the Capitol violence goes, there are just so many factors at play that are definitely not in our world of expertise. Like, why was the Capitol police force why were there not more police there? Why was there not better security there on that day? So there's just a lot of factors that went into that tragic day. The thing we know is that, like, a lot of people let that day become a very big deal, you know, you could even say that the vice president, by not saying earlier, no, I'm not going to overturn the election, there were people who thought until that day that he might overturn the election. He chose not to say he wouldn't until shortly before the proceedings began. So there's just a lot at play there, right? We are bringing you our little corner of the world in terms of what people in Wisconsin said. And that's just what we know the most about.
Also, cheese and the Packers.
Well, cheese and the Packers. They're good. Listen to an interview with Aaron Rodgers again talking about how he doesn't eat cheese, and we're just all overlooking that. Like, everything's okay. As long as he keeps throwing those touchdowns, whatever. Man.
We'll give him a pass.
Yep.
If he keeps making those passes, we'll give him a pass.
Good. I caught it. Wow. Yep. We just can't stop making football puns. This is horrible.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. Yep. Well, thanks, everybody, for hanging in there. I hope everybody out there is doing all right. It's good to catch up with you guys. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol PR chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
So I can't really say when we'll be able to get back to talking about the news using sound effects and stupid musical references, but hopefully it'll happen one of these days. And if you want to be ready for it when it does, you can subscribe to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime you feel like it at wpr.org/politicspodcast.